Ag Bioscience is supported by Indiana Farm Bureau.
The challenge in plant breeding is you can't breed for the problem you have today. You have to be breeding for the problem you're going to have tomorrow.
Welcome to Ag Bioscience, the number one podcast in the world for innovation in food, animal health, plant science, ag tech, and agriculture. Here is your host, Agrinovis CEO, Mitch Fraser.
Welcome back to Ag Bioscience. Ag Bioscience is the only economy in the world that touches every person on the planet. Over the past four decades, we've seen massive transformation, massive innovation, and acceleration of output in this economy. One leader has had a front row seat to that innovation, and he joins us now. Welcome, Jay Hulbert, CEO of Popcorn Seed Genetics Juggernaut. Ag Alumni Seed. Jay, it's great to have you.
Thanks, Mitch. It's great to be here.
I am so looking forward to this, Jay. Now, the story is you're thinking about retiring here in a couple months.
That rumor's out there.
It is. But I think it's so critical that we gain some perspective here. You've had a front row seat to many sectors of agriculture over the past four decades, here domestically, internationally, specialty crop, row crop. You've seen it all. A really tough question to answer, but I'm still going to ask it. Give us a flyover. What have you seen over this career that has taken you so many different places?
Well, my career goes back probably farther than I'd like to admit. So we're starting in the early 80s.
Tough time in ag.
Yeah. If you survive the early 80s, current times are not that bad. But of course, a lot of those survivors have aged out. The biggest thing that I think I've seen over the course of my career is the globalization of ag. I look at a market newsletter every morning, corn and soybeans, like pretty much everybody in the Midwest does. And the headline now is more often than not about the crop in Brazil or the crop in Argentina or the wheat crop in Ukraine. This morning, it was about Russian farmers turning away from wheat and planting soybeans. It used to be we worried about the rain in Iowa or how the harvest was going in Indiana. Now it's a global picture. We've got soybeans being exported all over the world. We've got, in the specialty crop world, we've got fruits and vegetables coming in from all over the world. You dial the calendar back, avocados, that was something you got on the West Coast seasonally. Now there's avocados in your supermarket. There's avocados on your toast every day all over the country.
It's extraordinary to think how quickly that's happened. You think about the complex infrastructure it's required to make, I mean, pick your avocado example. Just that one little microcosm of this global market, how much that's evolved in truly three, four decades.
The post-harvest handling, the logistics around that is just a mind-boggling system.
You've worked and you do work with innovators, entrepreneurs, Ag Alumni Seed, but across your career, you've worked with entrepreneurs. You're one yourself, I would argue. As you think about this ag bioscience economy, and you're in this retrospective period, you're kind of looking back, what are some of those innovations that you feel like were really step function change to this economy?
Of course, you've got to talk about biotechnology revolution led by Monsanto. I have to give them credit for that. That's just made an enormous change in the row crop world, and it's going to continue to have impact and probably accelerate again now that gene editing is coming online. On the way in, I bumped into an Indiana entrepreneur who's got a gene-edited product and pointing towards market. The layered underneath that has been just a very steady improvement in old-fashioned plant breeding, genetics. In the specialty crop world, hybrids have replaced open-pollinated varieties. Here in Indiana, in our popcorn world, when I started 12 years ago, we looked at an average yield of around 4,500 pounds per acre. Popcorn's pounds, not bushels. This year, the average was 5,300.
Holy cow.
And that's mostly improved genetics. It's a blessing. It's increasing yields for farmers, but it's also part of why we see the problems in the ag economy. Those of us in the seed business, the work we do, sometimes a bit of a mixed blessing because we're part of why we have piles of corn and soybeans.
I mean, it's supply and demand at its most basic.
Absolutely.
As you look at this chapter, so we've seen, you mentioned gene editing, which I think would be interesting to, I'll just ask the question because I think it's an interesting area. We talk hybridization, we talk plant breeding. You know, will gene editing actually just become plant breeding? Will plant breeding become gene editing?
I'd argue from a scientific viewpoint, it is. It is already. There are no bright lines in the technology between conventional plant breeding, gene editing, GMOs. In our own work, we right now can't use GMOs and we're not using gene editing because popcorn is a globally traded commodity and parts of the world, looking at you, Europe, haven't made up their mind whether gene editing is going to be allowed in food crops or not. But we do use genomics. So we use the same tools. We don't actually make the edit, but we can identify the target genes, and then we can use conventional plant breeding to move those genes into the lines that we want. So it's a little slower, but we're getting to the same place.
Obviously effective when you look at the results. I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah.
What are some of the things that are on the horizon? You talk gene editing clearly as one, but what are some of those near-term, maybe mid-term areas of innovation that you're seeing from entrepreneurs that you're optimistic about?
I'm really optimistic about entrepreneurs being able to use technology, not just in genetics, but also in equipment to increase our resilience in agriculture. Precision irrigation, precision pesticide application, better equipment allows us, for example, to harvest grain at a higher moisture level and dry it down than we would have been able to do 20 years ago. And I think that's really important because the climate is changing and it's for sure becoming unpredictable. So we need that resilience. The other thing that we see more of is improvements in flexibility. Here in the Midwest, we're pretty much locked into corn and soybeans and a little bit of wheat. In the specialty crops, farmers are able to be a little faster on their feet now and change crops and respond to markets.
Do you think it ever makes its way? I mean, we saw what Corteva 2 years ago talk about overwintering with canola, you're double cropping onto soybeans. That was sort of south of Mason-Dixon directional to get a new low carbon fuel with Chevron and Bunge. We've seen some of those evolutions where it's not quite a specialty crop, but it's sort of this almost, we're going to see that continue to move north and to get to this climate region that we're sitting here in the Midwest?
Boy, I sure hope so. For the health of the American farmer, the faster they can get into more specialty crop type products that are going to have a more stable market, the better off everyone is going to be. We bemoan shrinking family farms and the rise of big acreage operations. But in a commodity market where you're highly mechanized and highly capitalized, that's where the economy is driving. I hope that these new specialty crops can help keep the smaller guys going.
When you look at, you mentioned mechanization, I think there's a perfect example of adoption of technology. I mean, there's lots of things we can talk about adoption of technology, but it's hardware or software. To me, one of the most blinding flashes of the obvious is a tractor or a combine or whatever it may be. Clearly a green and yellow one, just in case of course. But what's driving the softness? I mean, not necessarily in the market, but adoption. We still continue to see a challenge for the entrepreneur you talk to coming up here. You see mechanization. There's still just not quite the full adoption that I think many hope. What's driving that softness?
Oh, gosh. Well, you almost have to go crop by crop and region by region. First of all, the money. I think the new John Deere See and Spray units are $1 million, round numbers. In a time of, well, we're not $10 soybeans anymore. We're creeping up and knocking at $5 corn. That's still below the average cost of production. I'm sorry, it's below the average revenue, the cost of production. We're just upside down. And it's pretty tough to justify to yourself, let alone your banker, that kind of a purchase. And that is slowing things down.
The economics of that, you mentioned, you look at Aimpoint data, Directions Research data, talks about the average cost of production, and you look at spot prices, and we're upside down or are really close to being upside down. You saw the 80s. We talked about this earlier. How is this cycle? And again, averages are average and they're not perfect, but corn peak to peak is typically 10-ish years, 8 to 12 years. What's different about this cycle? What's different about this one compared to what you saw in the 80s or compared to what you've seen in the past?
I think a lot of farmers might disagree with me, but leverage ratios are better now than they were in the 80s. There were a lot more people that were very highly leveraged. Interest rates, they're not great. They're a long way from being great, but they're not 12, 15% that we saw in the 80s. And that's really what ate up the industry, is paying high interest rates and a crash in commodity prices.
Jay, you've been a huge champion of entrepreneurs. I want to dig into that. We'll do it right after this. Ag Bioscience is supported by Indiana Farm Bureau.
A healthy company is a blessing, but a well-insured company is a necessity. That's why Indiana Farm Bureau offers more affordable health plans for eligible members. Whether you have just a handful of employees or a larger enterprise, building a stable business demands employees who are just as strong and healthy. Indiana Farm Bureau can help with health plans that include medical, dental, vision, and Medicare supplement insurance plans. And you can sign up for membership and apply for an Indiana Farm Bureau health plan any time of year. Indiana Farm Bureau understands the cost of health care has rapidly become one of the largest expenses for many small businesses. We invite you to compare our health plans to your current coverage. We're confident you could find significant savings. To learn more about the health plan that's right for you, visit infbhealthplans.com and make the switch today.
Welcome back to Ag Bioscience, talking with Jay Hulbert, CEO of Ag Alumni Seed. Jay, you've been a huge champion, a huge proponent throughout your career, but through our time together at Agrinovis, really focused on entrepreneurs and really being the place where entrepreneurs can bring innovations, bring ideas, and you help sort through them. So many entrepreneurs listen and try to understand the psyche of the farmer, try to understand the job to be done, the problem to be solved. What are the two or three things that you've seen that are relatively universal of those entrepreneurs who are successful at bringing a product to market and actually getting traction?
In ag in particular, entrepreneurs that have a lot of resilience can take some hits and get some bad news, pivot, keep on going. Flexibility is really important. But this is a market where it's important to be out in the field with farmers and to really be able to look at something a farmer is doing or something he or she is being challenged in doing and think about ways to help out. And sometimes, particularly if you're working with a genetic innovation, that takes a long time. And that's where that resilience and flexibility comes in.
It's so interesting. We were with Chuck Magro, the CEO of Corteva, not that long ago. He was talking about the path to bring a new crop protection product to market, a new seed to market. And the fact that it wasn't a single-digit number of years was just shocking. And to your point, I mean, these are folks who are innovating that could take a decade or more to see their idea actually become a product.
Yeah, you know, we do a lot of work as part of our mission with researchers at Purdue. I can give you a good example there. Dr. Mitch Teinstra, 10 years ago, was thinking about sorghum, forage crop that's used all over the world. He's a sorghum geneticist. Sorghum has a trait that makes it really resistant to insects. When you break the cell walls, it releases cyanide gas when it's green and fast growing. And chewing insect doesn't bother the sorghum. Cattle, that can be a problem. And it's particularly a problem with sorghum when it's green and fast growing. So you can make hay out of it. You can make silage out of it. You can do things to mitigate that. But Mitch thought about, is there a way to disrupt that pathway genetically? And he worked with mutations, not with gene editing or GMOs, found a way to knock out that pathway to interrupt a sequence and developed a prussic acid-free sorghum. He and I talked about this, or he told me about this 10 years ago, and we started supporting his program. And it's taken 10 years to get to the point where this coming spring, the first several thousand bags of this seed is going to be available for sale to farmers in the U.S. It took 10 years to go through the whole plant breeding cycle and get it there.
Resiliency and a function of capital. Right? I mean, that's the other challenge when you look at that is finding a patient investor that will fund a decade of work. Mitch, maybe a slightly different scenario given the university connection. But I think there's also a piece here when you think of the entrepreneur who is watching or listening. Great to have what to do. Also great to have what not to do. You've seen many stub their toe. Yeah. You've seen many take a right turn when they probably should have taken a left. Anything that you can, looking back on the last three, four decades?
Napoleon said that the worst thing a general can do is form a picture in his mind and then try to force the battle to conform to that picture. And I think that's probably the biggest issue that some entrepreneurs have, is they have a picture of what they're going to do, what's going to work, and either things change or it doesn't work out quite the same way, and they don't have that flexibility to adjust. That's just a huge issue.
I feel like I have a mirror in front of me right now, Jay. That's a tough one. I think it's so true. As leaders, as innovators, as entrepreneurs, you have a vision of what you want to see become true. You have a vision that you believe is a unique perspective.
Right. And you've got to, right? You've got to have a vision of where you're going. But you've also got to be able to adjust.
That market intelligence is critical. How have you seen that play out? Any good examples that you have along the way where maybe soften the edges of that picture or maybe put a little soft focus lens on?
I've seen that in my career most often in specialty crops, where something becomes a thing and really, really changes what you're breeding for. And we saw that in the 90s in jalapenos. You go into a bar, frequently one of the appetizers is a jalapeno popper. Jalapenos used to be used mainly for making salsa. You're going to chop them, right? So the size and shape of the fruit doesn't matter. And then a company in Wisconsin actually started cutting them in half and stuffing them with cream cheese. So what that meant is they needed jalapenos that were the same size and shape. So they would have the right number in a package. And that completely changed the plant breeding challenge.
That's amazing.
Little things like that happen in specialty crops all the time. When people started using lettuce in wraps, so that requires a different pliability in the lettuce leaf. Before, a lettuce breeder was breeding for a really crisp leaf that would crunch in a salad. Now you need a leaf that'll wrap around something and won't break.
Innovation in action, I mean, truly.
Really, yeah.
Gee, one of my favorite books right now is a book called Competing Against Luck. And I think it feels a little similar to this. The late Clayton Christensen wrote the book, and he talks in this book, incredible book, about jobs to be done. So we all know problems to be solved with entrepreneurship, innovation 101. But this jobs to be done framework is, there is something unique that is in the market that represents a job to be done. And someone will pull that into their life to do that job, and they may keep it or they may not keep it. As you think about the jobs to be done in agriculture, in ag bioscience, that aren't being done today, right? Like that's the key piece of this, right? There's a job to be done that is undone, that needs to be done. What's on that list?
Gosh, there are so many people in ag bioscience that are working so hard all the time. It's hard for me to say that there's not a job that needs to be done. There's maybe resources that need to be shifted a little bit. We certainly need to be working harder on climate resilient crops. We need to be working harder on corn that will pollinate at higher temperatures. You know, the challenge in plant breeding is you can't breed for the problem you have today. You have to be breeding for the problem you're going to have tomorrow. And the dynamics of climate on a global basis are making that more and more challenging. We talk about feeding the world. I'm very optimistic we're going to be able to feed the world. But the wild card there, the one we are going to have a hard time dealing with, is climate.
Unpredictable.
Yeah.
Well, Jay, it has been an absolute delight to work with you. You served as chair of the Agrinovis board. It's been fun to learn from you. And I feel like I should have a Marine Corps rib here somewhere as the Army guy. But let me just say thank you for what you've done for us, what you've done for the state. And thanks for joining us today.
It's been an absolute pleasure, Mitch. Thank you very much.
And thank you for tuning into Ag Bioscience. You can always get the latest Ag Bioscience news and insights from discussions just like this by subscribing wherever you get your podcast. And don't forget, while you're online, check us out, agrinovisindiana.com. On behalf of the entire Agrinovis team, I'm Mitch Frazier, saying thanks for joining us. We look forward to seeing you real soon.
Ag Bioscience is a podcast by Agrinovis Indiana, hosted by Mitch Frazier, produced by Kayla Chittister and Fabian Rodriguez, photography and design by Kaylee Kerr. If you liked today's episode, subscribe, rate, and review so we can bring you more conversations just like this. Get all episodes of Ag Bioscience at agrinovisindiana.com.